and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
Yay!
But we might talk about Parallel Kingdoms.
Yeah! Yeah, I got done picking up garbage on the freeway about a half an hour ago. By the way, I got three bags. How much did you walk last time? Did you do the 3 miles south of us?
Yeah, for the most part. I did all of the east side south of the driveway. And I did most of the west side south of the driveway.
Okay, so you did at least 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
So how many bags do you remember getting?
A lot.
Six.
But I went through thoroughly and picked up all kinds of stuff. The only thing I left behind was biodegradable.
Yeah. I pretty much picked up everything I saw or stepped on.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everyone's
walking. I'm walking along and I hear crunch. And I go, oh. I dig down in the grass and there's a bottle.
Right.
So. Honestly, I think a blind man could probably do just as good job cleaning up a ditch as anybody else. Because, you know, you just walk along and crunch. Oh, there's some garbage.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think I found more by feel than I did by sight. But,
I hear you.
Anyway. Yeah, so about a half an hour ago I finished. And here's our segue to Parallel Kingdom. I fired that up to see how my downloads were going for the other stuff for earning food. And one had completely stalled. And the other one just finished. So I could probably do that if I wasn't talking on the phone.
Right.
Not that it would be rude. It would be rude. But talking on the phone does mess with my internet connection, and therefore I'm incapable of doing it.
I understand.
Yeah. Just in case somebody actually listens to our podcast and they need an explanation, that's what that was all about. So.
Right.
So here I am, a half an hour late. It is now, let's see, more than a half an hour late because it's now 7:42 in the evening, and I've been dialed in now for about 4 minutes. So I realized, wait a minute, today is Sunday. Oh crap! Podcast.
Yeah, Prepper Girl's the only one who remembered.
She helped you out the last couple of weeks, or were you completely on your own? Probably completely on your own.
Completely on my own.
I am so sorry.
You're going to be.
Last week, in my defense, though, somebody had an emergency. Turned out that it wasn't really an emergency, but I went to rescue them. And I talked them out of the kind of rescue they were going for. They wanted 6 different locks to put in their house, which would have had 6 different keys.
Why would they want to do that?
Because they were nice to somebody in the past, and it bit them in the ass.
Oh, I understand that.
There you go. All right.
I need more sulfur.
Yes. To my knowledge, In Stockton Lake, there are only two sulfur mines, but I have not gone to the southernmost extent of both arms yet. And there are little teeny tiny bodies of what would be called water in the game way down south, all the way down to almost Greenfield.
Oh, okay.
You can see Greenfield from the southernmost one I found. Now I got to go down the other arm, but I decided instead I'm going to go check out Saco Sage, you know, where the two rivers join, because that's kind of like bottom land right there, and the water kind of sprawls out and gets wide, and I'm wondering if it qualifies as a body of water in the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go check it out. Might have me wandering all the way up to the Lake of the Ozark looking for sulfur.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Well, Bull Shoals, Table Rock are to the south and southeast of us. There's a few other river systems that are in that general direction. There's Lake of the Ozarks. Might even find a sunken city.
Fuck that.
What?
Don't go to no sunken cities until you're at least level 45.
Well, I may tend to agree with you, but we might want to put up a rock shrine that get people to one that's local to us.
Oh, yeah, I sold two of those rock shrine tickets so far.
There you go. People want to go to sunken cities. And I've only run across three of them so far in the game and only took note of where one of them was. And you're there. When I realized how rare they were, I said, I better tell somebody.
Yeah.
Oh. The other one I found, somebody invited me to the heart of Africa for some weird game, and they couldn't explain it to me, so I just wandered off. You know.
The heart of Africa.
Right down the middle of Africa. I forget what country it was, but I flew forever and ever and ever and ever over this country. And everywhere you look, instead of a city or a town, they have a church.
Oh, right.
And I think it was Uganda, but I don't know. I mean, is that in Africa or is that in, it was in the middle. It was in the middle. All right. I looked it up on the map. I tried to find cities there. I couldn't find anything that qualified as a city as far as the game was concerned. And I flew and I flew and I flew. I was trying to find one of those ports because I wanted to have a link to take me to Africa, you know. After I got there. Eventually I said, the heck with it. And somebody sent me an invite to Europe. And then that was when I was trying to save Doc Harry. That's how I ended up there.
Oh, okay.
And eventually got up to Longyearbyen and saved Doc Harry. And now Doc Harry is a good standing level 3 citizen of El Dudu.
El Dorado.
El Du. El Dudu.
What did I say about the guy's cave that I attacked and he contacted me and called me a jerk?
No.
Yeah, he's contacting me. He says, you're a jerk. You're from Eldo, so that's probably why.
Does Eldo have international reputation?
Well, I think he was from Stockton, but he lives in Springfield, and he had family in Eldo.
Right. Did you make friends with him?
I think so. He went. He had a cave close to my cabin, and he went inactive. And so I attacked the cave and took it over.
And he suddenly became active and let you know about it.
Yeah.
That's good to know. So if you're inactive for a year and somebody attacks your shit, your stuff, I'm sorry. Wow. You will, what in the world? Well,
yeah, he didn't really mind. He was just being facetious, but he said he goes in and active frequently.
Yeah, well, it takes a while to be inactive, so how do you go inactive frequently?
I know, right? Well, yeah, he didn't think it was he was just messing around, but he got a message that I attacked his deal, and so he went back active. But I told him, I says, I only attack people raid people that have gone inactive. And so he understood that.
Let's see now. So I click English, Francis, Deutsch. What's that one say? Wow, I can't even pronounce it. But Italian, Italiana, Espanol, or Portuguese.
Yeah.
Okay, that's messed up. All right. I tapped English, and it brings up a sign that says, proceed in English. The yes is blue. No, the no is blue, and the yes is red. Okay, you know, pretty close to, you know, green and red. Oh, it's doing the animation thing again.
Well, I haven't heard.
Now I have to download resources, as all these games need to. I don't understand. You just installed the game, right?
Right.
You just installed a brand new game. Why doesn't it have all the resources in the install from the beginning?
No,
yeah, no habla. Apparently I got internet, though, because it's at 1%. Ah, 2% now. Downloading resources. Now on 0 of 3. I guess in that case, that means I've successfully gotten 0 of 3 of them so far. All right. Ooh, it lets me make choices right now.
Yay.
That weapon's green. I like it. So I guess I'll end up choosing my character class based on the color of the weapon. All right. I'll go with that. Okay, it won't let me select until it finishes. Go easy on your data plan. Download over Wi-Fi, which it thinks it's doing right now.
Nice.
So these games know that they eat up your bandwidth. They've probably been told by their players plenty of times. Now, that'll be the real trick. One of the games I downloaded and played, graphically, it's really interesting and fun to watch. But you can pretty well turn it loose and let it play itself. You'll go up level by level by level by level. And it has some pretty good 3D graphics, too. Nice sound effects, everything. But it doesn't need you to be played.
That's weird.
Yeah, you put it in auto battle mode, and then you click the next thing it's supposed to do as far as, what do they call it, missions. I forget what they call it in the game, but, you know, every game has missions, you know, to get you going, get you started. And so you just click on the next mission, and it'll auto-pilot you to the person you need to talk to. And all you have to do is click OK whenever you get to them. And then it goes to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And along the way, it beats up monsters automatically. Rather impressively, too.
Interesting.
I forget the name of the game, but that one got me 224 food. Twice as much as the cooking one did. Which, by the way, it's going to let me download the cooking one again. So I'm wondering if it'll give me more food for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all I have to do is get to level 6 in the cooking one, which means you get to the point where you flip burgers for about 4 people and serve them sodas.
Oh, yeah, get to level 6 in order to get the points.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And I'm not sure what I did to get to level 6 because it seems like it's still in the entry stages of the game. But, yeah, basically it shows you what to do. You put a burger on. You put a burger bun on the counter. You put a burger in the skillet. You let it sizzle for a little bit, and then you move it over to the bun and give it to the customer. And he leaves money on the counter. And if you manage to get almost 90 coins for all that activity, you will have been level 6 by that time. Oh, and you got to fill soda, which is fairly automatic. All you have to do is put the cup under the soda machine, and it, after a while, it clicks and, you know, it's ready to hand somebody. And if you're smart, you put a soda cup underneath the soda machine, even when nobody asks for it. Because then you can throw it at the first guy that says, I only want a soda.
Fascinating.
I'm glad they don't have brands of soda. That'd be confusing. So, my main goal for doing all this stuff to get food is I want to get BD&D 1200 plus food, and then I will go buy two more Trojan scales, I guess they are, because I need five of them. I got three already. And then I'll go through the cavern again, which is the level 5 dungeon in Feral Kingdom. And supposedly there's a traveling merchant at the end of the dungeon when you get done. And if I got my facts straight, I will purchase from that traveling merchant 10 signs. Oh, is it time for the podcast now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's your alarm saying give up if David Bray didn't call in.
Yeah. That was when I was, that's my Ron Paul notification to call Ron Paul and do Ron Paul recording and then hang up.
Ah, this is when the new one comes on?
Well, basically, if you didn't call in, I was going to call Ron Paul and do Ron Paul recording, and that was it.
All righty. Ah, I got my shed stabilized. Now all I have to do is figure out how to keep the rain from coming in the sides. Then I'm going to start moving boxes over from my tent to here. And once I've gotten my living room and all that cleared out, then it's just a matter of disassembling my tent and moving over.
Cool.
So I'll be more or less living under the kitchen tree. I think not. I think I'll live near it, but not under it. My storage area will be under it, but when I get the other cage over, I'll make it my storage area. One is sturdier. But anyway. But yeah, back to Feral Kingdom. I want to get 10 signs at least for my effort of going through that cavern, because it costs 20 food, 20 refined oil to get in. And I don't see that you really get much out of it. You know, I don't see that you really get much out of any of the dungeons you go into. You can buy everything that you get out of them from somebody else who seems to enjoy going through.
Yeah.
So, let somebody else spend their food on that stuff, right? But what signs are seen for sale, people want astronomical prices for. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll sell some for food, or maybe I'll sell some for gold. Can turn around and buy food with it.
There you go.
Sell a sign for $2 million, and then turn around and buy 1,000 food with it.
Yeah, I'm selling weapons right now. I need to buy some sulfur.
Need to buy sulfur, yeah. I'm afraid I need to do the same thing. And then I'm trying to get food for Doc Harry for similar reasons. I'm going to build a whole bunch of cheese factories. However many they'll let me build. And I'll need tons of sulfur to furnish them. Basically, I'll make a bunch of firebomb golems and use them to reshape the city of Aurora.
Oh, yeah. Make a firebomb golem, too, to assign one monster, one axeman, and one fireball golem to each garrison.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. You were kind of breaking up.
That I'm going to assign an archer, an axeman, and a fireball golem to each garrison.
To each garrison? Yeah, that was my thought. And make them as high a level as possible. Grant, that eats up your golems, because a level 2 golem doesn't free up a golem for you. It still counts as 2 golems.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, that kind of... That sucks.
Well, once you get level 45 and you have enough research points and blah, 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 it don't matter.
Well, yeah. There is a ceiling, though, to how many golems you can make. Because you can't keep researching to have more. There's a ceiling. And I was very disappointed when I got mine up to 35 golems. And I figured, okay, I'll make another oil well. 30 per oil well would be 70, right? Wrong. You get 35, period. That's all you get. You don't get it per oil well. You get it over, all of them, all together.
Yeah.
Which didn't make me terribly happy. Hey, you'll love this. When I extend Aurora all the way up to Greenfield, I plan on going through Mount Vernon.
Okay.
I mean, it just depends on how hard it'll be to do that. But I figure cutting a path through Mount Vernon might be less expensive and less difficult than taking the long road around it. I could be wrong, but it might be funny if I divide Mount Vernon in two and have a thin stream of Aurora passing through it.
Yeah.
It'll only be temporary, but... Well, I hear if you take out the city center, the town disappears.
Okay.
So how many hit points does the city center have?
Not sure.
You know, that might be the thing to do. Because the city towers, they got way too many hit points. I'd be forever trying to take each and every one of those out one at a time.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, 10 signs. I give 5 of them to you. More if you have good use for them. you know. But quite frankly, if you got good use for them, just tell me and I'll put it up. Saying whatever.
All right.
Yeah, if you put up a sign, I wonder if it tells you where it was when it got destroyed. Because we could put them up all over the Ozarks. Every time I get to it, I could post a sign. DD&D was here. Visit DavidDavidDavid.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Visit our organic hippie farm in real life.
What a pink sucker.
Well, in truth, that's the whole reason why I'm playing this game in the first place, is advertising. So, it helps the fact that my friend's highly addicted to the game now. Now, my download has come to a stop.
Oh, well.
Oh, my. I talked to, no, I'm not going to give out a name. One of my Sabbath Keeper friends today.
Okay.
And he gave me a scripture in 1 Corinthians that, according to him, says that if you're a slave, you're supposed to stay a slave. We're not supposed to fight our way out of it. You know? But I know from experience, when I run across scriptures like that, they're all based on King James.
Who wanted us to be slaves.
Who wanted to be slaves. Or they're based on the Catholic Church's translation of scripture. Who, again, wants us to be slaves.
And Dave is gone. So we'll do Ron Paul while we wait for David to return.
Days for Monday, August 8th. Last Friday saw the release of a bombshell jobs report with headlines exclaiming that the U.S. economy added over 250,000 jobs in July, far in excess of any forecast. The reality was far more grim. Those jobs weren't actually created by businesses. They were created by the statisticians who compiled the numbers through the process of seasonal adjustments. That's a bit of statistical magic that the government likes to pull out of its hat when the real data isn't very flattering. It's done with GDP. It's done with jobs numbers. And similar manipulation is done with government inflation figures to keep them lower than actual price increases. In reality, there are a million fewer people with jobs this month than last month. But the magic of seasonal adjustments turns that into a gain of 255,000. Delving further into the jobs report, we see that many of the jobs that were supposedly created were jobs in government and health care. Government's jobs, of course, are paid for by siphoning money away from taxpayers. And healthcare jobs are increasingly created solely because of the ever-growing mandates of Obamacare. Other magic sources of job creations were temporary jobs and leisure and hospitality, that is, waiters and bartenders. These aren't long-lasting jobs that will contribute to the economy's growth. They are mostly just jobs that cater to the tastes of the well-to-do who continue to benefit from the Federal Reserve's easy monetary policy. As New York, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and other political and financial hubs continue to benefit from trillions of dollars of debt-financed government spending and the trillions more dollars the Federal Reserve has created from nothing, the politicians, lobbyists, and bankers who receive that money demand ever more exotic food, drink, and entertainment. The jobs that arise to satisfy that demand, we are supposed to believe, are the backbone of the job market recovery. Yeah, sure. 8 years after the worst part of the last financial crisis, the U.S. economy still has not fully recovered. The number of people employed may have finally begun to grow past its pre-crisis peak, but the quality of jobs has deteriorated, and the number of people who are still looking for jobs or who have even given up looking for jobs and dropped out of the labor workforce still numbers in the millions and shows no signs of shrinking. Quantitative easing, zero or negative interest rates, and other inflationary central bank policies cannot lead to lasting job creation or economic growth. Try telling that to the central bankers, though. They only care about aggregate numbers, not what is actually behind those aggregates. A castle built on sand is the same to them as a castle built on stone. Until the notion that wealth and prosperity come from a printing press is eradicated from the thinking of policymakers, economies around the world will remain mired in this malaise. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
We gotta listen to it one more time. Hang on.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay!
Yeah.
Yeah, I can never disconnect that because my phone doesn't let me disconnect for whatever reason. It also won't let me press 1 to repeat, so whatever.
Have you ever tried pressing anything else? Not repeat?
I think so.
Okay. Just a thought. Oh, yeah. Apparently I found the one dead spot on 1481 Road. So, I'm sorry. I really didn't hear much of anything that he said because I was driving the Bill and Shirley's when I got called back in.
That's fine. Basically, he was talking about the imitation growth in jobs.
Okay.
So, the artificial inflation of jobs or job inflation, whatever.
Right.
You know, it's like, one, they artificially inflate the real numbers to make it look like numbers are better than they really are.
Well, I've seen lots of help wanted signs out, but it's for the gas station, it's for McDonald's, it's for a low-paying retail position in the store. It's all minimum wage stuff.
Right.
You know, so they might have numbers that way, but, you know, some guy loses his tech job because the economy's going down, and then he turns around and gets a burger job. That's not equal to, you know, everybody being covered with jobs.
Right.
You know. That just means that there's going to be more people buying Burger King and not being able to afford it.
Well, that's what they want.
Yeah. You know. So there'll be more people working for Burger King so they can eat at Burger King every third day.
So they can get the employee discount.
Yeah. Yeah, how far did I get my diatribe before I got cut off?
How long before what?
How far did I get my diatribe before I got cut off?
I don't know.
Because we were talking about the fact that probably the translation came out of, I was talking about the fact that the translation probably either came from King James or from the Catholic Church. You know.
All right. You got the King James part, and then you said the Catholic Church part. And then...
Yeah, I started talking about Bible thumpers. You know, it's like... You're going to grab that Bible and start thumping it, saying, hey, this is the Holy Word of God. But you got to stop and think, whose Bible are you thumping? Is it the approved by King James Version? Or approved by the Catholic Church Version, both of which are groups that prove themselves not to be of God?
Right.
I think Shirley's coming out to check on me.
According to our friend that starts with an L, whose name shall not be mentioned, she said that the King James only has a few flaws, which are known by many.
Yeah, I disagree.
Me too.
It is rife with error from beginning to end.
Right.
But most of the error. Most of the error is of the same nature as walking into a courtroom and being asked if you understand.
Right.
And you think they're asking, do you comprehend? And they're not asking that at all. And as one gentleman, Brother Gregory, pointed out, Romans 13, 1 through 3, is not necessarily a bad translation. You know, when it says all power comes from God, and any who oppose the power, you know, is an error. Well, they take that to mean you're supposed to obey government. But if you look at it carefully, you find out that word exousia that was translated power is talking about a type of power. But the type of power it's talking about is called the power of liberty. And basically what those verses are saying is all liberty comes from God. And anybody who stands in the way of that liberty is in error. You know, so it could be argued that it's not translated wrong. It's just easily misunderstood.
Right. Kind of like, let us
create man in our image.
Yeah. Clearly, there was multiple gods in that scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Oh.
Me neither. I mean, yeah. I'm starting to believe in the Anunnaki more and more.
Yeah.
Than I did before. And the funny thing is my now stalker ex-girlfriend tried to shove it down my throat, and because I didn't buy it hook, line, and sinker, I was an asshole. And if she would have just been patient with me, I would have came around.
Maybe.
Because,
well,
you know, talking about the Bible, she's always looking in the Bible for proof of aliens.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the biggest proofs right there in Genesis.
Well, what that was is Moses was taking the common beliefs of the day and rewording them ever so slightly to point out a spiritual truth. And while the ancient Babylonians taught that these other beings came down and made us what we are,
right,
Moses was pointing out that this otherworldly entity, this entity from outside of all of our known existence, came down and put us together. Doesn't matter what steps happened in between. You know, it doesn't matter if we were made in a lab. We are still children of God.
Well, yeah, because basically God is the ultimate being, the ultimate entity in the universe.
He's the ultimate creator.
And supposedly, according to my homework on the Anunnaki, is that we were originally created by God here on Earth, and we were recreated
by the Nephilim.
By the Nephilim or the Anunnaki.
Yeah, I like that replenish the earth part, though, in Scripture, though. That means the earth had been plenished before.
Right. So the whole thing about evolution and us being evolved from ape, that may not be far from the truth. We probably were either ape, or we probably were more caveman-like.
Probably the results of early genetic modification. Probably. We're probably the result of early genetic modification on this planet.
Right.
You know. But it was done by somebody who was a little bit smarter than we currently are. Not much, but at least a little.
Well, yeah, we're trying to advance to that level now.
Yeah.
You know, people have been experimenting for years.
Yep, and it may destroy us because we're playing with fire. And it's okay to play with fire, but you should be careful when you play with fire, especially when you don't know what it is.
Right. Because,
you know,
maybe that was a mistake that the Anunnaki made by creating us. We got too powerful and we overthrew their rulership, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, the stuff I read back when I had translations of their stuff, the Anunnaki didn't give us their scriptures, but they apparently had some religious thing that they followed. And they had a one God that they worshiped. And the early Babylonians did not call the Anunnakis God. That was just, I forget what century their stuff was rediscovered and people translated it. But basically that was That was the Victorian mindset translating the stuff. Oh, those who came from heaven down to earth, we must be talking about angels. Yes, folks, it's time for a commercial break.
Yeah.
Well, we have no advertisers, and so there will be no commercial other than this.
Actually, we do have advertisers. We have truckerdate.com, offgriddating.com, and datingbythesigns.com.
Yeah, you'll find me on the off-grid one, maybe.
You're on all three.
Am I?
Yeah, mostly as an admin, but you're not helping the admin. Which is fine. There's not really much to admin. Trucker Day.
Yeah, I haven't
only
been
one,
helping very much.
But that and our off-grid organic hippie farming retreat.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yep, we said that earlier. Go to davidandDavid.com.
DavidDavidandDavid.com. I need to put something in there about rainbow gathering.
Rainbow gathering. Where all the heathens and hippies and pagans meet.
Yeah. Well, you know. Something for Googles, you know, to get some more hippies that might be hippie chicks to maybe migrate our direction.
As long as they believe in faithfulness and they're clean.
Yeah.
And there only have to be there only has to be two of them that way.
Sophisticated hippies.
You know, one has to want children, the other one, well. Have to not want children.
Right. Yeah, I was talking to Jamie last time I was in town visiting her and David Irish. And Jamie was talking about finding somebody who's like-minded, like us, but who's stable and not, you know, all jacked up. And I go, yeah, it's difficult to find it. Hated hippie. I've been looking for one for a long time.
So we're unstable and all jacked up? Is that what you're saying? I heard the insult.
Right?
I am not unstable. Hear me! My loud voice! I'm stating it!
Well, she was... I don't know. That wasn't her exact words. That was my interpretation of what she said.
Yeah. No need to backpedal. I know what Jamie was doing, and we're not really compatible with her, but we're close.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, like I said, that wasn't her exact words. That was just my translation. But, nonetheless, you know, I told her, I said, well, yeah, it's difficult to find, you know, stable, sophisticated hippies, you know.
Yep.
Or I think I just said stable hippies. I said, I've been looking for one for a long time, and Jamie's not exactly stable either, but she's getting there.
She's a lot more, and we're using a personal name. We shouldn't do that, but yeah. She has grown considerably since I first met her.
Right.
I would not, if you'd taken the her that I met and the her that she is now and put them side by side, I would not be able to say that they were the same person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's come a long way.
So.
Some people degress as they get older, and some people progress, and she's been progressing.
I hope someday somebody can say the same about me.
Yeah, I think you're progressing.
Progressing down the hole?
Yeah. Down the rabbit hole.
Progressing down deeper and deeper depths of despair. And
deeper and deeper into the demented dungeon full of dragons.
Yes. Finding the quintessential river of shiest.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. All right.
Well, this might end up turning into a PK podcast.
Yeah, temporarily. Till we get it out of our system in about 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah, you never did send me your PK link so I can help you earn more food.
Oh, yeah, because by the time I get on there, I've forgotten that. I'm not quite as addicted, I guess. But yeah, I'll make a point of sending both those to you. But I'd prefer it to go to DD&D because that represents our collective, basically. And anyway. Well, I'm tired and it's getting dark. And Lola and Shirley are probably wondering why I'm sitting in the truck with it getting all steamy. I'd open the window to let some fresh air in. But our friend, Mr. Diamond, is on a separate podcast on the porch right next to me. So.
Oh, not a Flat Earth podcast, is it?
No, I'm not sure what they're discussing, but they are discussing.
No. They're discussing?
They're discussing. They're discussing something. And it's probably very interesting, but they're discussing. So.
They're discussing.
Oh, my download finally failed. Download failed. Back. I'm going back. Yeah, this game, Unison something or other. The characters look like they're 10 years old. But the girl character has full-grown woman bazooms almost falling out of her costume. And they like to make a shot of her wearing her miniskirt from an angle where you're almost seeing everything. But, you know, if they were a little bit lower below her, you would. And if the skirt was a little bit shorter, you would. But, you know, it's like, you know, this is a cartoon for kids.
Yeah, that's Pepper Girl's bitch about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the characters look like they're 10 years old, but they have adult features, and they have adult or inappropriate adult behavior. I'm being shook at.
I'm guessing Jerry is off his podcast. Oh, okay. Well, you were on a phone conversation, so I kept the window closed to keep you off of our podcast and vice versa. So.
Yeah, we don't want you on our stinking podcast.
Yeah, I think I'll go in and eat. Like I said, they're probably wondering why I'm sitting out here in a steamy car.
Yeah.
Yeah, David's fogging up the windows. They might think he's got a girl in there.
On the other end of the phone.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, so if you don't mind, I'm going to call it quits for the podcast. We've been,
about
an hour? All right. And I'll try to be better next week.
Yeah, do better. Well, I'm changing the time to 8 o'clock, so be here at 8.
Okay. All right. So that'd give me time to get over to Bill and Shirley's next to eat and then hop on the podcast. Yeah.
There you go.
I might have work tomorrow. I got to call and confirm. But, all right. Anyway, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Oh, hey, thanks for cleaning the ditch.
Just a half a mile up and down. So, you know, mile of walking, but I actually went all the way to the intersection. I went past our sign.
That's good.
Yeah, I kind of figured, you know, there's a pile of trash just before our sign, and then none after. People might go, well, that was kind of petty.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, if you could walk the rest of it.
Say what?
If you can walk the rest of it and just pick up obvious things, you know.
Yeah, if I'm not working tomorrow, I'll go do that. All right, I'll let you know. Yeah, 3 bags of garbage and 1 Charbroil grill cover.
Oh, yeah. I found a couple of those.
Hard,
like that.
The hardcover. It wasn't the cover that was supposed to protect the Charbroil grill. It was the actual cover to the grill. Apparently somebody didn't secure the grill properly.
Oh, that kind of grill. Is it reusable?
Yeah, hard top. No, it's cracked.
Oh, okay.
It's some really heavy-duty fiberglass stuff, though. It almost felt like metal. But you can see the fibers in it where it broke.
Oh, okay.
So it's some sort of carbon-fiber combination.
All righty. But yeah, let me know when you're done, and I'll call it in and let them know so they can come pick them up.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you don't get done by the time I get in, I'll help you finish.
Oh, when are you going to be in?
In 10 days.
I should be done by then.
Hopefully.
All right. Oh, hey.
All right.
All right.
Do what?
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. All right, bye. All right. Well, until David gets his Parallel Kingdoms link, just in case anybody is listening, it's a little long, but I got mine posted at the DDND website, daviddavidanddavid.com, under links, and just look for Kano's Parallel Kingdom link. I also got it on Facebook and like a half dozen other places. Because basically that's how we earn food, and we earn food in the game, and we don't got to pay for food. That's the only way that they charge money, is if you pay for food. So we try to earn it as much as possible so we don't got to pay for it. I paid for some food just to give me a boost, but I'm not planning on paying for any more. I'm earning as much as I can to keep my food level high so I don't ever have to pay for it again. David won't pay for it, so he's got to earn it. But that's the only reason why I've advanced to level 31 and he's still level 11 because I actually paid for food. But I've been earning the heck out of it too, every which way I possibly can. Upgrading weapons, selling them for food and gold, a whole nine yards. So, yeah. So check out our website, daviddavidanddavid.com. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com is probably going to be redirected to daviddavidanddavid.com, to our podcast page. I won't probably be uploading our podcasts to the internet anymore. It's just going to be like if somebody calls in, then somebody calls in and we'll do a podcast. But I'm recording it. And David Ray wants to have a micro FM station someday. So maybe we'll play our podcasts on it. Maybe we'll relaunch a podcast website again in the future. I had problems with the people that I was hosting the podcast with. Basically, I had TriggerDate.com there too. They had unlimited hosting, but their hosting sucked. And I kept getting 503, 500, and 504 errors. So I ended up having to move TriggerDate. And I canceled my subscription with them, which is where the podcast is. But I paid for a 2-year subscription. So, yeah. I requested a refund. So if I don't get the refund, then the podcast website will still be up for a year and a half. And if not, if I do get the refund, then I'll probably cancel the whole thing and everything will go away. So, yeah. But I chewed their asses big time because they just ignored me. That I had problems with the server. My website wasn't working, and it was a server issue. Both of my business partners confirmed it. I ended up having to branch out to a Russian group that I just started doing business with. They helped me out a lot, so I'm going to continue doing business with them. But they also confirmed that it was a server problem. The server couldn't handle the website when they were advertising that they could handle the website. And I called them, and they confirmed they could handle the website, and they couldn't. And then they accused me of being in violation of their contract. And I'm like, wait a freaking minute here. You told me you could support this site. Now you say I'm in violation? Fuck you. So I moved the site. Basically, I upgraded my reseller or my virtual dedicated server. And I basically am now hosting my own website. It's probably what I should have done in the first place, but, you know, sometimes we got to learn the hard way. So, yeah, if you're interested, if you hear this podcast and you're interested in web hosting, web development, go to kclai.com, kclainternational.com. My two business partners will take care of you. I mostly do in-house stuff. I work on my own things and help work on the server. Terry mostly works on the server, mostly does web development for other people and web hosting for other people. So he's the primary guy. He basically does most of the work for our customers. Jamie, he is the brain. He does all the really cool, techie, high-tech, BMacoidal type of things. He is practically a genius. So he does whatever Terry and I cannot do. He also rebuilds computers. So if you're in the Kansas City area and you need a computer built or rebuilt, he can do it. He is really good at what he does. And he gives you a whole bunch of free stuff to go along with it. So it's a damn good deal. He also does Oracle. He actually helped write Oracle, which, if you're familiar with Oracle, basically he is one of the brains behind the Oracle software. He is a programmer. So if you need programming, Jamie's your guy. And you can find Jamie, Terry, or myself at KCLAI or KCLAInternational.com. And you can find everything that I'm doing, all my projects, at KCLAManagement.com. If they're not all there, they will be there in the future. Because I try to list everything that I'm doing and everything that my partners are doing under KCLAManagement.com. And, yeah. So there you go. All right, party on. And join us next week or the week after that or the week after that, Sunday at 8 p.m. Central. You can find the phone number at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com or DavidDavidAndDavid.com. Go to, hang on, let me save this. Go to view page. Our projects. Okay, so go to DavidDavidAndDavid.com projects. Scroll down to alternative thinking, and you'll see a pop-out menu where it says podcast. You click on podcast, and it'll take you to our Demented Dungeons and Dragons page, podcast page. And if you can't spell Demented Dungeons and Dragons, just type in ddd-podcast.com. Short for David, David, and David. Podcast.com. I don't think I have the David, David, and David podcast.com. But anyways, just ddd-podcast.com or DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com or DavidDavidAndDavid.com. Okay, that's all, folks. Party on, bye.